It is Thursday, the 6th of August, and this is episode 254 of Digital Outbox. Welcome to another episode of Digital Outbox. It is 2015. I forgot to put that bit in. I'm Chris hosting today, and Ian's with me as ever. Hello, Ian.
Good evening.
Gotta keep this quick, snappy, to the point, energized. Are you ready?
Everything was good until they energized.
Yeah. Right, let's go on to Microsoft Windows 10 has been released today. Oh, no, it's actually got released about a week ago now.
Yeah, 29.
I say it's been released today because it's taken this long for me to get my download. I clearly didn't get in the reserved queue soon enough and couldn't be asked to download their ISO. So that is currently downloading in the background. And by all accounts, it sounds like they got it right. The reviews have been very good. Pretty much they're saying it's Windows 7 Plus rather than Windows 8.
Yes,
which absolutely is a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. So for me, I was impatient because I'm on a VM and I was convinced that even though I got in the queue early, that I bet you this isn't going to download. So I just went the ISO route. And also it was complaining that Parallels had the wrong video driver. This won't work. But it's download the ISO. An hour later, it was there. Actually, it looks a very nice operating system. It's quite a nice contrast to it. I actually prefer some of the look of it to OS 10.
OS 10's dragging its feet a little bit on the looks department, I would say.
It's just a thing we've always been used to, and you know what it's like if you get a rebrand or something, it does tend to feel, oh, that's nice.
Nice and shiny.
Some of the icons in Windows 10 were a little bit kind of like they've also got a grad to do it because they didn't look that good to me.
But, and the Mac icons don't look like that right now.
I don't want to turn this into a Mac versus PC. I'm just...
Yes, let's do it. Let's keep it energized.
Because ultimately we know...
No, we know.
Who'll win. The... I guess the thing... Yeah, so installed fine. As I said, icons a bit...
Yeah, there'd be no horror stories. It's... Key features, so it's window snapping. You can now snap four windows. Cortana's embedded at every level, so you've got a sort of digital talk to assistant embedded at many places around the operating system. You are on the desktop, and the kind of the tiles view is only really for when you detach a like a Surface or some sort of tablet device. They've replaced Internet Explorer. Is it called Edge, the new one?
Yep. And I went to a few, I guess the common websites I go to the Mac, and they all worked really well, and really, really good performance. I mean, I'm doing this through a VM, and it felt, you know, really snappy performance for websites. And I did read somewhere, did they call it Edge? So, because it's still got the same E, you know how Internet Explorer, mm-hmm. and but the branding looked very similar, and I don't know if they just went with let's start it with an E, and we don't need to replace the actual...
Yeah, people will still know what to click.
Yeah,
which I don't think we should underestimate. I know that sounds silly to us, but actually, a lot of people see that E and know it's the internet.
Yeah,
kind of thing. So it just solves that problem.
I mean, there's things we were saying it's like a Windows 7 refresh or whatever, but it's got Cortana, it's got some virtual desktops in there, it's got some nice usability features in there.
Terra 12 is apparently a massive step forward in gaming performance.
I've not tried the kind of streaming from Xbox. I don't even know if it would work through a VM. I'm guessing it would because it's just on the same network, but I'm not really interested in that. But from all accounts, it works really well. So it's actually a really good upgrade.
I'm saying the reviews have come out well, and this is to go down their kind of universal application basis. So they're going to roll this out across all their other platforms as well. So it should be a uniform experience. That's obviously yet to be seen whether that they can carry that off, because Xbox is going to Windows 10 in, I think it's November this year.
If you're on the preview program, I think they're saying you'll get it September. For everybody else, it's November.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that. If they can get back to a nice, fast dashboard that makes things easier to access and use, and get rid of the current one, because it just, every time I boot
it up, they should restart. I think they should reboot, and they'll get a lot of fans that way, I think.
Yep.
So yeah, and the reviews have all come out very well. So well done, Microsoft. That looks like a good upgrade. I should report back next week when I've had a chance to play with it on my laptop. Uber, the taxi company, is facing legal action in the UK and abroad, actually. But in the UK specifically, we're talking about this one because they class their drivers as partners, or, you know, basically subcontractors. And the unions are now getting involved and saying they should treat them as employees, and therefore they should have all the, you know, employee benefits associated with that.
For me, this Uber interests me because you get some people that are driving for them saying that we want union rights, but there are a lot of people that drive for Uber saying, don't want that, I'm my own boss, I can do my own thing. I don't need all this unionised nonsense, but they're the folk that aren't going through, you know, the knowledge and all that kind of stuff, especially down in London, although I think Uber drivers are being forced to do that.
Probably one of the concessions, I'd have thought.
Yeah, but I think elsewhere in the world, I mean, you can be an Uber driver if you sign up, got a car, and just, you know, Google Maps, GPS it.
It is causing stink elsewhere. I was in New York the other day and drop. and apparently there's all sorts of stick going on there about Uber and the fact they're not welcome. And they're trying to work it all through now, trying to get the agreements in place.
And they are known to be, you know, quite there's a bit of a whiff about them. You know, there was that whole thing about, you know, they've been tracking journalists and doing, you know, tracking what they do and how they use the service, and information's not very private, and they were targeting people.
I've not seen that sort of background.
Shutting down competitors, you know, so deliberately, you know, phoning up for rides and then not turning up. So almost like trying to kill them as a competitor. There almost seems to be too much noise about them for them. Mm. I'm sure some of them aren't true, but there's a bit. The people that defend them say, see if you're going to, you know, and not invent a new business, but really disrupt a current one, it will be controversial. You know, so taxi services have been the same for years. How do you disrupt it? They're doing something different, and people don't like their cozy little business getting disrupted.
Of course not. And the problem is that everyone I've spoken to who's had an Uber cab has raved over the experience and how easy and good it, quick and well-mannered it all was.
Yeah, I've never used Uber, but I used Halo down in London a couple of years ago. And it was getting out an app, saying I'm here, give me a taxi. The guy turning up, taking me to Paddington, and then I'm saying, and that's me paid. Yeah, I didn't need to do anything. Yeah. Like, okay, thanks, bye. It was nice.
Yeah, and yeah.
It's like Apple Pay. I used Apple Pay in March the other day, and I've used it a few times now, but it feels natural now to me, which I know is
weird. Contactless payments for me is the same kind of thing.
It
is the best way of making you spend more money because it doesn't feel like you're spending money.
Because I double clicked in the watch. As soon as I got the watch, I double clicked the assistant. Oh, you're my first. I was like, oh, hello. and I double clicked and she went, woohoo.
Okay, done.
And I was like, I want to go now.
Yeah, that's, I'm getting out of here.
And she called in this other guy and says, look, he's got an Apple Watch. And he just went, all right, yep. And I was like, yeah, okay, I feel like a cock.
Don't worry, you didn't look like one much.
Thanks.
Nokia has sold its HERE maps, and they've sold it to a consortium of Audi, BMW, Mercedes. They're buying up the maps to using their cars and to help them going forward with their kind of self-drive and, you know, automated driving kind of technologies they want to work with. Where they need a sort of an accurate set of maps. They reckon this one aligned well. And that cuts Nokia now down to two business units. And basically their onward shrinkage down to their core level, really.
Yeah, so that, I mean, there was rumours ages ago that they were going to merge with Alcatel-Lucent. And there was also all these rumors about, you know, once they join up, they will start to launch their own mobile phones again, because still people associate the Nokia brand with phones. You know,
yeah,
just,
of course they do.
You know, it's just such a good, you know, brand for many people still. And this probably makes sense for the German, you know, automakers. It's
you know, when they had a, you know, a big phone franchise, then having all these mapping software would have made sense, but they're now down to Nokia Networks and Nokia Technologies. So, and the maps would have been a bit of a weird one to have there, really, left over. So not surprising, but they did get a good chunk of cash for that. So it kind of shows what kind of money it would take to build up the same kind of data network, or, you know, the same kind of mapping software, I guess, because they wouldn't be willing to spend $3 billion if it cost less than that to do
it. And Microsoft, I think, sold their mapping business to, was it Uber? I'm sure it was. So there's money there. And I think if you're in that kind of, you know, if you're in the kind of, you know, so reliant on that, because everybody now expects it. Everybody expects to have GPS available, you know, yeah, or map, yeah, you know, software available. It's just become I need that to navigate.
It's my favorite bit about my phone is the way it gets me to places really easily.
Absolutely.
It doesn't get me there. It just tells me where to go.
But even recently, I fired up Google Maps and there was a bit that I hadn't realized. It was shopping centers in Glasgow, and you can go in and it shows you like what shops are on each level.
Their actual mapping detail now is ridiculous. Some of the meta areas they've got. You can actually go into, you know, the front door of some weird random buildings now. If you go on Google Street View.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of restaurants and pubs in Glasgow now. So obviously there's a local mapping service has got all the gear for doing it. And they're obviously charging, I don't know, 500 quid, a grand a shop. And certain down a couple of streets, you can walk into every one and walk around the whole bar.
Random trading estate. Out in near kind of Lakeside area. I've got to go there on Friday. And it was just random. I was just walking, literally using the little Google Maps to walk around. And I was going into these random like workshops. It was just really bizarre.
Well, it was one of my mates that I worked with, and he was like, "Do you realise you can go in and it was like a couple of places in Finneyson?" And you went to it, and you could actually go to where you would book your seat. You know, it was like and see how much, you know, and you it was totally, you could almost walk through the whole street and see all the different bars that you'd maybe go to.
And these are all sort of transparent things that they keep adding all the time, just expanding that.
Well, even the shopping centre one, because it was just totally by chance. I was looking at it and I was like...
And it makes a lot of sense.
I just saw 1, 2, 3, and I clicked on 3, and it showed me the level, and it showed me every shop. And I was like, wow.
It makes a lot of sense, you know, when you want to find something. You want to find a shop, don't you, in a shopping centre. So, Reddit has continued their realignment. We've been covering them for the last couple of weeks because they've had a bit of stink over... banning and censoring things, but they've gone into sort of racial terms now. They decided they are going to ban some of those subreddits.
It was in some ways inevitable, because they're owned by people that want to make money, and sites don't want this kind of stuff on it. I know they say they're all about freedom of internet, but they want to make money. They're not going to do it, you know, with big brands.
I still don't think they still don't appear from what I'm reading of the terms they're banning, that they haven't crossed any line yet. You know, where we bemoan that invisible line and how do you make sure that you don't cross it. I don't think for most reasonable people they've crossed it anywhere near it yet. But where do you draw that line? So it's such a tricky thing. Apple kind of almost went too far, didn't they? They get all that sort of backlash, and now I think they've kind of gently... quietly sort of reduced some of their their measures.
I think as well, some of the backlash Apple were getting, every so often something bubbles up as that's ridiculous, you know. But so I think there was, remember the what was the flag recently in America, is the Confederate flag that was banned, and then all of a sudden there was a whole load of apps, even like history apps on the iStore or Apple Store were getting banned. It was like, come on, that's
when just... you could still go to Amazon and buy a swastika. So
and then next day they reappeared again, because it was almost like it sounds like middle manager has said, right, we need to do this, take them all down, and then somebody further up said, no, actually, so in these certain ones, take it away, but in these ones, that's a different context.
You may remember, oh God, this would have been probably years ago now, there was a decision made that US were going to sort of hand over control of the ICANN, the central kind of network names database. So it's been a bit contentious for years now that America still remains in control of that. So they said, right, okay, we shall hand over control. The kind of report as to how that's going to happen has been produced. It's a 200-page report. Because it's actually quite a tricky thing to hand this power out and make sure it doesn't ever end up in a central location again. And it's not an easy thing. And it sounds like they're trying to take the sort of best examples from how it runs currently, but just say, give it to the hands of a consortium of international users rather than just one party.
Yep, I mean, right at the bottom of this kind of, I mean, US lawmakers have passed legislation requiring the Obama administration to present the transition plan, because there's lots of Americans say, don't do this.
Oh, of course they're right.
You know, this should never be, we can't, you know.
Terrorists!
Well, it's still that, we created the internet, we control the internet, you know, if we give up control of this, and it's a bit, and it's a bit like how the Europeans are doing their own version of GPS, because certain things are too important for America to own.
Yes.
Simple as that.
It feels, it's not just an American thing, is it? And okay, they may have started some of it, but they certainly didn't invent it.
No.
Get right out of here.
Get out.
Smartphones. Who knew? They are now people's most, well, 33% of people, so a third of people reckon their smartphones are now more important as internet devices than their sort of home PCs, laptops. Sounds like they're going to catch on, Ian.
Yeah, but if only we'd written an app all those years ago. So question for you. If I had like your iMac, your MacBook Pro, your phone and your iPad, you can only keep one, which would you keep?
My MacBook Pro.
And I still...
But I think I'm unusual like that.
Well, I still think I would maybe favour my Air, because I think I could do everything, whereas a smartphone would just let me do most
like that. But then again, you and me aren't popular sociable people.
No.
Who have lots of phone calls to make and people need to contact us or text and things like that.
I bet you a lot of people, I saw the thing at lunchtime today. They were going down, and I guess it was the queue for a bus in London because there's no tubes. And they were going down asking people, you know, what are they doing on the smartphone? Nobody. Nobody said phone. No, nobody said not. Text. One guy was like, work emails and occasional Facebook. He was clearly wanting to be, whereas other people like Spotify, Instagram, Facebook.
That's it. Yeah, done. The tipping point for websites, I think, is, you know, certainly in the arena that I work at the moment, it's definitely mobile first. It's amazing the percentages. Desktop is sometimes a distant second.
Yeah.
Especially when announcements are made on Twitter and things like that, just because people are on their phone on Twitter and they just click straight through. The balance is totally been thrown out, more than I ever thought it would be. There's no point developing a website for a desktop nowadays.
No.
You need to develop it for mobile first and then onwards, yep. Expand it for desktop.
And I think, as you said, when you look at where, I mean, I think Facebook are now seeing 2/3 of their you know, page views per day are, you know, mobile.
Inside their rubbishy mobile apps.
Yep. But at the end of the day, if you put a link out, you know, people are going to, so that's 2/3 of the population are going to click from there.
Yep. And then say they're still stuck in that form factor.
Yeah.
Yep. But there you go. So yeah, there's a tipping point of what people actually consider their most important as well.
But I mean, the year-on-year change is quite high, because last year it was, so they're saying that 1/3 of people, you know, now view smartphones as an important device for going online. And it was in 30% of laptops, but the smartphone preference last year was 22%. So it's a big change just
last year to this year.
So probably a similar jump next year again.
And 66% of people in the UK own a smartphone. That is amazing.
My mom's got a smartphone.
No, I know exactly. But again, that's a 5-year stat, basically. I can't remember how long ago the original Apple smartphone was out, but nevertheless, I reckon that stat's been rocketing in the last 5 years.
Is it 6 years or 7 years, I think?
Yeah, so at that point, virtually no one had one, right? We had occasional Microsoft devices that people used and that were probably considered smartphones.
You had some of the Sony Ericsson ones were starting to, was it the N98? Was like a kind of getting there from a kind of smartphone.
But I don't think it's like we consider them now.
So June 2007. So
that's quite a long time ago. That's 8 years.
Yeah, yeah. And the first one didn't have 3G. You know, that's the reason why I didn't buy it. Remember, Shaq was didn't have apps, but it was a 3G bit. Because even when apps came out, it was like, no, I need it was 3G. 3G was a big thing for me. And then when they announced the 3G one, I was like, yep, I was buying apps before it even came out.
But even when smartphones first came out, I would never have considered that 60, you know, 2/3 of the UK population.
That's a mad stat. I know lots of people were saying, oh, that was a given. There was very few people predicted what happened. I mean, nobody thought the App Store would do what it did.
No.
You know, it was just...
Had a sort of Mac virus story this week. Like two kind of big vulnerabilities sort of were flashed around, and they were both striking at the core of sort of Mac operating system. Apple had been notified of them and they hadn't properly patched for them, things like that. And it got down to the point where, you know, they were talking about some of the vulnerabilities were down right at the the actual hardware device flash ROM levels. So they were talking about the ability to seed viruses through the USB ports and via firewire cables, things like that. Turns out it wasn't quite as dramatic as everyone thought.
No. And initially this sounded really bad. I mean, to hear about something that's attacking firmware and can jump air gaps, you know, it's you don't need to be networked. You know, so even a standalone machine can easily get infected. And I guess we should also point out it's DEFCON this weekend, so that's why there's a couple of kind of big high profile kind of virus or, you know.
Yes, we always get their big announcements, don't we?
Yeah. So yes, it sounded bad at first, and that it could spread, you know, not over Wi-Fi. It was all on the firmware side of things, very, very hard to stop. It was all that kind of stuff. But then the reality was that although it was great research, and yes, it does work that way, that the particular route in, if you're running OS 10.10.4, was blocked. It can actually automatically jump air gaps. So as long as you're careful about, and it was only in Thunderbolt devices for the second one, which is called ThunderStrike 2. So again, it starts to limit it down, because although Thunderbolt's on all Macs, there's still not a lot of people that have got Thunderbolt drives, for example. You know, it's
But people do. I do, for example, and you know, their firmware gets upgraded and stuff, yeah, things get patched anyway.
Yeah, and I think Apple have come out already and said, you know, in their next security update, which seemingly is in the next sort of week or two, they will patch and fix.
They have to be a little bit careful though, in that, you know, it's still not a good story for them in that there is no response. They have been notified of it, and there was proof that they didn't patch. They patched a beta and not the actual real thing.
I still think, I don't know if it'll be a year, don't know if it'll be 5 years, there still will be a massive virus that'll hit Macs. It's bound to happen.
I can't believe it hasn't happened already, to be honest with you. So that's an amazing sign that it is trickier than you could ever imagine, because the fact that it just hasn't happened yet.
And one of the pieces of advice was, you know, be careful where you get software from. And also the default setting on a Mac. So if you go into, I've just done it, forgotten already, security and privacy, allow apps downloaded from. If the middle option is picked, which is Mac App Store and identified developers, then that
which is the default. That is what it would start out.
That's the default. And certainly when I first upgraded to Yosemite, or when this setting first came in, there were a lot of third-party developers that didn't have identification certificates, so I needed the anywhere to run apps. But if you hold down, you know, command key when you're launching the app, it'll launch, put your password in. So as long as you're happy that you know where you've got that app from, and to be honest, see, if you buy software, you're generally fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that's my kind of golden.
Yeah, you're only at risk when you try and crack it. Also, is, you know.
Yeah. You know,
that's pretty true.
If you buy software, you kind of know you've got legit copies and you're not carrying any risk. If you want to go and hit some sites and put on some, you know, keygens and all sorts of stuff, then you're putting yourself at risk.
BBC is going to sell TV on over digital, basically. So they're kind of moving their DVD after sale market sort of sales on into the digital age, and will allow you to basically download and own programs that you want to. It's not going to be exclusive to the BBC, so they potentially this will arrive on things like the Amazon services or the Google services, Apple services, potentially going forward. So this is not going to replace the iPlayer. The iPlayer is still going to remain 30 days. You can watch all programs or a very wide selection of those programs. But this is where you would, you know, go and buy the DVDs of Fawlty Towers or something like that. You will be allowed to now go and download them as digital and play them.
I saw some crazy people getting all excited about this. And the reason I linked to the Wired story is I thought it described it really well. It's a digital DVD. It's a digital version of what we've been able to buy for years.
The potential, you know, golden lining here is the fact that they it's more economically possible for them to release, you know, much wider archive than they would be bothered to do onto DVD. So, you know, that's a good thing, is the fact that even small shows that they just would never have released onto DVD before, they can now go and put them onto digital.
Yeah, and that is a really good point. There's stuff, as you say, that wasn't economically viable. You know, there's no way they're going to do a run of, you know, 1,000 DVDs if that's what they thought they would sell.
Plus, you know, yeah, that involved going to the shops or going onto Amazon and buying them, waiting for them to be delivered, playing them. It's nice digital. If they get the pricing structure right, it's so easy you'd take a punt on something even, or just, oh, I just, you know,
I want
why
it.
Not? But they've got to get the model right.
Yeah, but there's a lot of that kind of, I just want it now. So give me it now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that will happen. Amazon, bit of a coup here. They've signed up the Top Gear cast, the old Jerry Clarkson, Rich Salmon, James May, for a show that will essentially end up being like the old Top Gear, but on Amazon. Because Jeremy Clarkson apparently owns the rights to that revamped format.
Yes, and as you say, it is a bit of a coup because everybody was expecting Netflix or ITV or one of the streaming companies, but everybody kept saying Netflix.
It needs is that the service only needs one hook, and this is going to be, I think, quite a big hook. There's certainly millions of people will be willing to sign up to their Prime service to get this. Just like Netflix, it was Breaking Bad. You know, that was a massive. I've never seen a graph, but I am 100% sure that the take up graph on Netflix as soon as Breaking Bad got that it was on there would have been massive.
And I never followed up, and I probably should go and do a little bit of querying just now. I did read somebody saying that they paid $250 million for 3 years.
Yeah, that's a lot of
money,
isn't it?
That's a lot of money, but I think they will sell a lot of subscriptions. There will be people that didn't consider Amazon before that it's now like...
Why not?
I saw a couple of, I guess, more Apple-y types who were like, oh, why is this not on Netflix? What a disaster. And then somebody saying, glad I've still got a Fire TV so I can watch this and pay for the subscription.
I think I said a couple of weeks ago, you know, Prime's still not for me because I don't buy enough and the other services don't interest me enough. There's not anything on Amazon TV that really interests me. Well, this is the first, you know, chipping block of that. You know, the fact that it does suddenly become a little bit more attractive. And then if they get a couple more things that you think, yeah, worth it, then suddenly all the additional services they're throwing into that £79 actually does start to make sense.
Yep. It was £160 million, so it was. The $250 million was right. And that's for 3 years. And
it's only three guaranteed seasons.
And each season is 12 episodes. Mm-hmm. So 36 hours of content, because they've talked about it will be a kind of hour-type format, and they're not releasing it all at once. It will be a weekly release, so a more traditional model.
Yeah, and I have to say, I'm starting to appreciate a drip feed release, especially, you know, if it's a new service. I can get through a season that I really like in such a short time that I just feel disappointed that it's all over again. So I think actually sometimes having a little bit of restriction is not a bad thing.
Not even
and you know, once it's all come out after that 12-week run, then sure, for back catalogs, then have it available immediately. But
yeah,
I'm starting to see the attraction of that.
I mean, even like, I mean, Gears of Thrones is only 10 episodes, and so over a space of 9 weeks you've seen everything, and it does feel quite short because you get there's so much anticipation for some of these shows now.
You wait a whole year for it,
and then it's just like, oh, this episode one, oh, two and three is a bit, oh, four, five.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, you're thinking about what 8, 9, and 10 is, and then you're like, oh,
what's that? What's the grand final going to be? Okay. Amazon Prime Music is now out in the UK officially.
And I guess this is like what you're saying. See this drip feed of, like, because America have had things for a little bit longer than us, but this constant drip feed of, and here's more for the same money.
Yes, so they're not, the price hasn't yet moved. But again, I would, you know, if it carries on like this, I would expect that it does, you know, it might move. But yes, it's everything they're trying to wrap up into that one package deal. And it's just starting to tip that balance for me now. So we'll see.
And this was, I think we just need to be clear. This isn't a Apple Spotify rival. This is 1 million tracks. It's not quite clear. There are some new tracks on there, but there's certainly quite a lot of old music on there.
It's you know, as a Spotify's got in excess of 30 million tracks. Apple's got 30 million tracks. So 1 million track is very restrictive, but who knows what that's going to be. But nevertheless, it's a wrap-up service again. It's not this standalone thing. So I don't think that matters too much. YouTube, getting rid of its 301 plus views. Now, I can't say this is something I've ever really noticed, but apparently on new videos, they stop the view count at 301 when things accelerate, so they can actually confirm that these are not bots watching videos. These are actually genuine people watching. So technically, they've kind of stopped it at that point, and then they go away, the computers check it all out, and then they add the views in once they're happy that it's not just a bot doing it. But they've upgraded their algorithm so they can do it in real time now, so you won't see, for you know, ongoing 301 plus as a view count.
Yeah, I saw it all the time and was too lazy to figure out why. I thought there'd be some reason why, and there is bots. So yeah, we're going to get accurate checking service.
But yep. But as they point out, you can't now just tell a video's new because it's got 301 plus, which is another thing that people look for. Apparently, was that if you saw 301 plus, it definitely meant that video was a recent addition.
Mm.
Google is moving away from Google Plus, so it's not really a surprising move. They've taken on board people's criticism of having to have their profile attached to all their Google accounts, and now they're kind of sort of split them off again a bit. YouTube's going to be the first one to have that happen, so you no longer need to have a Google Plus account in order to be able to comment, etc., on YouTube, and you can even split your accounts apart again if you would like to. Whether anyone will, I don't know. But having the single account, as you know, they had that feedback. It's nice to have a single account across all Google services, but they don't necessarily want their profile attached to all that.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I quite liked. I didn't so much particularly like, I guess, where Google Plus ended up. But see, having the one profile and everything attached to it and identity there as well, fine.
It's definitely the end of Google Plus, though, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's gone. Gone.
LinkedIn promising to do so much better at not bugging you.
Just shut down.
Yeah. basically, they're trying to try and reduce their emails by 40%, which would be a miracle if they do. Apparently, they have started doing this, and their customer complaints have gone down by a massive amount.
Wow.
So surprise, surprise. So yes, they have, say, released reports that, yeah, we understand, we hear you. It's taken us long enough, but we hear you. We will do better at giving you less emails and more direct and more sort of informative rather than that.
Someone has invited you to their network. Come back and visit us.
Oh, it's the whole, somebody's viewed your profile. Oh, yes, it's that one person.
They have endorsed you again.
Oh, I hate all that. I don't get that. I really don't get the whole endorsement nonsense.
Facebook has launched live streaming. I think this is very recent because I saw Ricky Gervais today doing some sort of live stream going, I don't really know what this is, but I'm doing it.
I hope we just turned it off.
I just carried on scrolling down. So this is only available at the moment to celebrities and verified pages. I do hate the way the internet is now going to celebrity culture. It's bugging me. But yes, they can broadcast their videos live, and apparently then they can choose whether they... What's also going to go again?
When Celebrity Big Brother starting?
Yeah. Shut up. So yes, you've thrown me right off. Yes, so they can.
I wish you'd just call me what you were going to call me.
They can throw out live video, and then they can choose whether they want to keep that sort of an archive on their Facebook account, or whether they just want it transient and for it to disappear off into the ether. Either is possible. They reckon it might well be rolled out to sort of the rest of Facebook users at some point in the future, but they're just starting with VIPs.
And I think it will. Meerkat and Periscope are popular enough that I can see Facebook having the same.
Fitness apps continue their consolidation run. Adidas has bought Runtastic. Adidas has been criticised for their lack of good fitness apps. Their software they've had previously and their heart monitor software and stuff that has been a bit poorly rated. So they have decided to buy their way out of that problem by buying Runtastic. So if you've got a startup that is a health and fitness monitoring thing, just make it look good, make the back end really crap, and someone will buy it just for the name. There you go. That's my money quick.
You're not far wrong. There's been lots of consolidation, and this article was from Readwrite, and they pointed out that when they did a review of fitness apps in 2013, the only ones that from that review that still remain independent, Runkeeper and Strava.
It won't be long.
We'll see, because Runkeeper's had a bit of a rebrand, and mm-hmm. they're still called Runkeeper, but they'll
see the dollars in front of their eyes.
They're being a bit more generic, so it's like, we're not just about running, we're about this and that. And someone
will flash them some cash.
And it's no longer, when you pay for the extras, it's no longer Runkeeper Elite. It's like Runkeeper Go, you know, because it's not about the elite athletes, it's about everybody.
Yeah, whatever. I just say there's enough big cash going around that someone will, you know, pull them in. EE is making a recall on some battery packs because someone had an explosive time
up in Aberdeen. Bedroom. And it plugged into their laptop and it exploded, caught fire. There was fire in the carpet and everything. And they burnt really badly, burnt their hands.
So I was going to make a joke about that. But
go on. Went,
no, it's too late now. But go anyway, on, so
Reddit
they,
user.
So they, it's it, models, here we go. Batch E1-06.
God, you're like Esther Ransom.
On the side of the device. If you have a EE power stick with E1-06 on the side. There was a recall. They've actually texted the people who have bought them or have been given them. So
yeah, but they were all out of range and didn't get a text.
They couldn't get a connection. So their houses were on fire.
I almost got one of these because we're free. And I just thought, well, it's handy. You just get a free top up of power. You know, if I'm out walking somewhere, just plug it in.
Yeah, I've got my little battery pack, but it's
so massive. Have I. I'm kind of glad I've got mine. It doesn't catch fire.
Well, mine hasn't caught fire yet, so I'm hopeful that that will be the case going forward. Motorola have released the Moto X Style Plate and Moto G. So these are just the latest. The Style is their big feature phone, 359. So lots cheaper than, you know, the Apples of the world and the what's the other one?
Samsung.
Yeah. Same time. So big with loads of stuff going on. That costs 359. They've also released the G, which is their really low powered one, which is popular, you know, around the less developed countries and things like that.
And the Moto X claim to fame, big camera, because it's got a 21 megapixel camera and turbo power, because it'll charge to 34% in just 15 minutes.
Yeah, that is bonkers. So you can get 8 hours from 15 minutes charging. And they're all running core Google. These are still the kind of... They're equivalent of the old Google Nexus, really.
Yeah, and to me, they look okay, but there's that, I don't know, phones-wise now, it's just matured so much that I don't get much excitement.
No, I don't think I do either. I did use very, very briefly in the airport a Samsung Edge.
Right, okay.
And actually, I quite like the way it scrolls over an Edge. It kind of has a weird, it's kind of a good feel. I like the way things came round and made it feel more 3D. I don't know why. It was a bit more fun than I thought it would be. But at the end of the day, it's just a phone.
Yeah, and that's how I feel about phones. And I've sworn I'm not buying this year's new iPhone, so I'll be buying it. I know.
Xbox Gamescom, GamesCon is on, and Xbox have made their announcement. Mind you, it is only Xbox really this year, isn't it? Because Sony didn't go.
Yeah.
So they've been basically touting a bit more about, the stuff they talked about E3, basically. So they've been a few more releases, but basically going over the same ground, but with more kind of playable detail, I guess. And things like Quantum Break, very attractive to look at, you know, whether they'll actually...
I thought it looked stunning, but it was another one of these like stop time and mess around with time and
Max Payne nailed it.
and it's a bit of the gameplay was like there's nothing here that looks particularly interesting.
The biggest issue with Max Payne was always that it nailed the stop time and the things, but it got really repetitive really quickly.
Yep, and this looked the same. A five minute gameplay demo. So yes, graphics.
The way that as these effects sort of played out, these time pools and things, the whole of the world was like flexing and rippling. It was absolutely incredible to watch as a technical demo.
But that's what it felt like. It feels like they've written a game around a concept and a demo.
But you can't really tell that from 5 seconds of gameplay.
Yeah, you can. You know it.
Yeah, I know it.
Seven.
Crackdown 3.
That's its rating, 7.
Who needs these proper review panels? I think you're probably right, though.
Watch Dogs 2.
Crackdown 3. I always have a little bit of a soft spot Crackdown because I loved the first game. The second game, disappointing. And third game, they're promising everything is destructible, which sounds amazing, but actually, I think it could end up being... Is that a good thing? I don't know.
I don't know. There was times that when I played... like Battlefield, when it brought in its kind of proper...
But that wasn't all destructible, was it?
It wasn't all destructible. But see that hole, you're sitting in like a hut and it's getting bombarded by tanks and you couldn't be destroyed. And then all of a sudden it's like the walls break and you're like, ooh, I'm no longer safe. But this looked proper mental. There was guys in bridges and rockets were taking out the bridges and they were falling down. It did look like mayhem.
I just want them to recreate that first game because that was awesome.
So I guess we'll see multiplayer next summer, and we'll see what that brings.
They're releasing a chat pad, so it's pretty much the same as the old chat pad, just a keyboard that stuffs into the bottom, because it doesn't seem to fit anymore. The CGI sort of version of it that they showed on screen, just it looked really awkward and horrible, whereas the original chat pad looked good. It looked properly integrated into the old...
just looked like, just go for it.
It's rubbish, but let's put it out there. Someone will buy it. Yeah. DVR on the over-the-air TV is coming in 2016, but you do need to attach a hard disk to your Xbox One to get that working. City Skyline is going to come to Xbox One first. I think we knew that anyway, didn't we?
I didn't, but I was probably just kind of sleeping. So this is already out in PC and Mac. It's the one that I loved from earlier this year, and it's going to hit the Xbox first.
Dark Souls 3, fine. Halo 5 Gardens, fine. Halo Wars 2, blah, blah, blah. They've got enough going on. Forza look pretty. So
Forza's only a month away and did look very good. I never put that in the notes. I meant to add it in. That looked nice, but there's just something a bit sterile about Forza.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I'm going to buy it.
As I said, sterile's the word now.
The last three times I bought it, because effectively it's the same kind of thing. I play maybe a few hours and then
a couple of nights, and then our community just drops away because it's like, this isn't, there's nothing sticky about it.
Get a bit bored.
Yeah.
whereas I didn't used to, but there you go. That's just probably me getting a bit older. And Elite Dangerous, you've added in very excitedly to the show notes since we started.
Elite's got a soft spot for me, and they announced quite a few. There's basically three main updates coming. So there's a CQC Arena Combat module, so close quarters combat, and it's coming out for consoles, PC and Mac all at the same time, which is September. There's another free expansion tentatively called Ships, which is talking about increasing the number of flyable vessels. But the third one is the biggie. This is Horizons. It's the first major paid update. It's going to come in at $60, so not cheap.
Wow,
and it also includes an entire season of expansions. But this is, I think you named it as, it's like No Man's Sky. Basically, planets become visitable. So it's instead of just flying around from space stations and different interplanetary systems, you're actually, I'm going to land on that planet. I'm going to go and do things.
I wonder whether No Man's Sky might have missed their window.
But there is a danger of that. I do think they are different games, but when you see some of the No Man's Sky stuff that came out,
that's
the
because
weekend
no one knows what No Man's Sky is.
Yeah, but they talked about there was some trading in there and there was mining, and your reason to get mining is to upgrade your ships, and there is a bit of you're in danger of becoming elite light because it is looking like it's 2016, because I thought they would have done a release date this week, but it's like no, we're not ready yet, so it's 2016.
Figuring it out, aren't they?
Yeah.
All right, we've rattled on far enough. I don't know if you've got a pick for us.
No.
Great. So I think we should let's wrap it up there. So thanks for listening. Digitaloutbox.com is our website. info@digitaloutbox.com is our email address, and we're on Twitter as Digital Outbox. You can follow along me on Twitter, even though I don't tweet. Cheesy UK. AcademyRacer.co.uk is where I talk about my racing and stuff. About you, where do we find you, Ian?
Twitter, Sweeper, blogs, END.net. When's your next race?
Still a couple of weeks away, so not this weekend, not the next weekend, the weekend after that. So I think it's the 21st. My car's currently having a new engine fitted.
Oh, what a brand new engine!
Brand new engine.
Wow, I won't ask.
No, don't. So we will speak to you next week. So goodbye.
Ta-da.